During Mary McCarthy's lifetime, it's safe to say that she vied with her bitter rival, Lillian Hellman, for the title of Premier American Woman of Letters. McCarthy wrote criticism, best-selling novels like The Company She Keeps and The Group, political commentary, and autobiography. When writing autobiography, McCarthy says she was guided by George Orwell's remark that an autobiography that does not tell something bad about an author cannot be any good. McCarthy's book, Intellectual Memoirs, was the last thing she wrote before she died in 1989, and commentator Maureen Corrigan says Orwell would be pleased.
Mary McCarthy's Intellectual Memoirs is one of those books that leave you convinced you were born in the wrong place at the wrong time. For McCarthy, New York during the late 1930s was like a giant chromium cocktail shaker, in which literature, leftist politics, and romance were all mixed together in a glorious slow gin fizz. McCarthy tells us about spending long afternoons with other intellectuals at the Central Park Zoo cafeteria, drinking beer, arguing, and watching the seals. At a Trotskyist party, McCarthy got pickled and sat in Max Eastman's lap. She also remembers strolling down to the New School to hear Gertrude Stein talk and swimming in a stream near critic Dwight MacDonald's summer house. McCarthy and her lover Philip Rove, along with MacDonald and his wife Nancy, discussed the novels of Henry James as they paddled naked in the water. Ah, what a time it was! Nowadays, most New York intellectuals have been rounded up and quarantined in remote college campuses where they get their Saturday night kicks by reading advance copies of the Sunday New York Times Book Review. Intellectual Memoirs is not as psychologically rich as McCarthy's most magnificent autobiographical work, Memories of a Catholic Girlhood, but it's a small, sharp portrait of an exciting time. McCarthy was just 24 years old in 1936, but she seems to have held her own intellectually and sexually with the mostly male company she kept. She began to make her mark by writing book reviews for The Nation. And after her first marriage fell apart, McCarthy tells us that she slept with so many men she soon stopped counting. Eventually, she moved in with Philip Rove, an editor of the Partisan Review. McCarthy herself was made theater critic for the review because, she said, the boys didn't trust my critical skills in other fields. That's a rare admission for McCarthy. Mostly she prefers to ignore the whole issue of how being a woman may have sometimes hindered or helped her career. Certainly it was her beauty as well as her brilliance that endeared her to Edmund Wilson. McCarthy, however, initially pretends she can't fathom her own motives for marrying Wilson, the foremost American critic of the time. She says she never loved him and describes him as fat, pink, pop-eyed, and sweaty. McCarthy theorizes that maybe she gave in to Wilson because she wanted to punish herself for cheating on Philip Rove, or maybe because both she and Wilson were WASPs who liked nature. Right. Finally, on the last pages of the memoir, she comes clean and admits that Wilson promised he would do something for her career. He did. Wilson encouraged McCarthy to write fiction. Without Wilson, she says, I would not be the Mary McCarthy you are now reading. Yet, awful to say, I am not particularly grateful. That's not a pretty statement. But fans of Mary McCarthy read her for the way she encourages us to pare away fictions and self-protective lies. McCarthy's own hard edge keeps me from overindulging in fantasies about a New York literary culture that's probably a lot more fun to read about than it was to live in.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed Mary McCarthy's Intellectual Memoirs.